Oh, this puts me in a good mood. 8 minutes after the hour, a little bit of Rich Mullins in the morning on this Monday, and then Dr. Linda Mintel with us on the studio line. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. I was on radio silence there. I usually hear you talking about whatever you're talking about beforehand, and I was just hearing silence. No idea what you were talking about before, but hopefully we can tie it in.
Absolutely. It doesn't take much to get back on track. Let's talk about, you know, people talk about being in love all the time. I'm so in love. And that's great. But what about the opposite of that, when people are in hate?
Yeah, this is interesting. Have you heard the saying, there's a fine line between love and hate? I mean, we've all heard that.
I have heard that.
Well, it's actually true from a psychological point of view, because what's interesting about the emotion of love and the emotion of hate is it follows kind of a similar process in the brain. And so both of those are really intense emotions. Those two emotions of love and hate are very similar in terms of their very strong feeling, but there's a really distinct difference of what happens in the brain. When you're in love, and you think about people who are in love, and you think about all these movies about people being in love, they sort of lose their judgment. You know, they think everything's wonderful and everybody's great and they're not very discerning when they're in love. But exactly the opposite happens when you're in hate. So rather than your judgment getting deactivated, which is what happens in love, the exact opposite happens in hate. And your judgment is beginning to be used. And what happens with that is it starts to activate parts of your brain that are associated with aggression, and even the motor parts of your brain that tell you you need to move, you need to do something, you need to jump into action. So when somebody feels hate, Bill, they're really prone to do something about it with that hate. And that's why it's such a dangerous, in some way, emotion. The other part that happens in the brain, that if you think about your hate and you really focus on it, a lot of times in the brain we start to ruminate with it, then it goes into some logic and planning and calculating moves, how to harm somebody. So it's an emotion that sort of tells you to do something. It activates aggressive impulses, and then it says, hey, let's move, let's do something with this, which is why it's so dangerous.
So Linda, you're saying that hate is mind altering.
It is. It is. And it does something in the brain. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Bible has so many scriptures on hate. And some of these scriptures are, you know, they're lumping hate with very, very sins that we would call that are very serious kinds of sins. And the one that really strikes me is the one in 1 John, where it says that whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eye. So you're activating parts of your brain, you're being aggressive, and yet you're kind of blinded to this. And again, what's really interesting when you study the psychology of hate, a lot of times people who are feeling hate towards somebody or a group of people, they will think that they're loving and kind in other parts of their life. So there's this like dissociation that goes on with hate, which is why we see sometimes, I mean, I haven't studied all the people who are shooters and kill people, but you begin to hear, you know, some of the reports of people saying, I don't know, he was kind, he seemed like a nice guy, didn't bother anybody, but then he goes and he shoots up a movie room of people. So part of the way that we think about this in terms of understanding the psychology is people are in this darkness that the Bible talks about, this blindedness. There's a part of them that thinks they're okay, and then a part of them that really gets activated with this hate.
Mm-hmm. Linda, what are some things that trigger hate? I mean, I can, you know, you hear people say, well, I don't hate anybody. And I go, okay, well, I don't know if that's true. I mean, if someone cuts me off in traffic, I can go, okay, this person is annoying me. But there's a part of me that goes, I hate what this guy just did. This guy, I mean, all of a sudden, what's triggering these feelings?
Yeah, I think there's a little different reaction of anger. You know, maybe you can even get into rage at times. Okay. But hate is one of those things that really simmers, I think, in the person. And a lot of times it's prompted by you've been wounded by somebody. So you look at sometimes the histories of people who have been abused or been treated with a lot of shame and humiliation. I mean, we think of all the bullying that happens with people. There's this internal pain a lot of times in people that they don't know how to deal with in appropriate ways, and it begins to fill their hearts, and they begin to direct that towards other people as a way of sort of going out. And then I think one of the things we're seeing in the news so often today is just hate that is directed at anybody who thinks differently than you. So there's a whole group of people that are driven by this whole idea that I have an in-group that thinks like I do, and then there's an out-group that doesn't think like I do, and I'm going to hate that out-group in part because they're threatening and they're creating a fear response in that person. So anybody who's not like you, I have to be afraid of you. And I think we see that all the time in the news stories that we're starting to see, which again is very frightening. If people are different from you and you begin to fear them and think that something terrible is going to happen because of their difference, then you can develop the emotion of hate.
Mm-hmm. You know, Linda, I'm always amused by the bumper sticker that says hate is not a family value. And I think to myself, when there was only one family on the earth, there was a murder inside that family. So there was hate going on there. So hate is a family value.
Yeah, it goes all the way back. it goes all the way back. You start thinking about all the Bible stories of Haman and Esther and Absalom, and when his sister was raped in the Bible, Tamar, and you think about the reaction, and it simmered for 2 years in him, and he ended up killing his brother. So yeah, this is an emotion that is so talked about because of the damage that can happen when somebody continues to just ruminate and think about and allow that emotion to just simmer inside of them. It becomes dangerous because, again, of what it does in the brain. It starts to activate that person.
So can you admit to having feelings of hate towards someone that you have gotten over and you've asked for forgiveness, and then now you say to yourself, well, I don't hate that person anymore, which exposes you as once being a hater?
Yeah, and that is really the hope, Bill. I mean, it's a heart issue in my mind. This is an issue of sin and a heart issue when you hold hate in your heart. And the only way to get rid of that, I think, and this is why it's so dangerous, again, to not have more of God being talked about in the public square and spiritual solutions to problems. You know, we have all these people that are trying to deal with hate crimes and hate that we hear about different groups and violence in the news and all of this. And we don't look at spiritual solutions, which the biggest one is to confess that and to say, God, that is a wrong way for me to behave towards my fellow person. And once you confess it, get rid of it, and you ask for the love of God to be implanted in your heart, God can do amazing things because God is in the business of transforming a person's heart and making it new.
Mm-hmm. Linda, I want to go to a break, but when I come back, let me ask you about self-sabotaging, because I think that the degree to which you hate is also the degree to which you suffer. So let me get back with you on that. It's 16 minutes after the hour. I'm talking to Dr. Linda Mintel, host of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show here on the Faith Radio Network. Be back in just a minute.
Well, the wind blew past Nebraska's, with laughter on them cold Dakota hills. The angels danced on Jacob's stairs. Yeah, they danced on Jacob's stairs. There is the silence in the Badlands and over Kansas, the whole universe. Carry the songs I learned when we were kids. I'll carry the scars of generations gone by. I'll pray for you always, and I promise you this. I'll carry your...
Good morning and happy Monday, as it is Mullins Monday here on Faith Radio, the early morning late show. Bill Arnold here talking to Dr. Linda Mintel from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. We're talking about hate. What a lovely topic on Monday morning. But people can be in love, but they can also be in hate. And I do think, Linda, and you can correct me on this, that the degree to which you're hating is the degree to which you're miserable.
Yeah, there's that old saying that people say, people who hurt others.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really applies to hate, because one of the things that happens that is so terrible about hate is that it really does consume a person. So what happens is all the emotions that the hater is feeling is a state that they're constantly live in, and it's a stressful state. And one of the things we know when we look at people who carry that kind of hate is that they have a lot of stomach distress, they have headaches, they have body aches, they have other issues in their body. So it really drains the energy of a person to put all that energy into that emotion, and then it really robs somebody of living a really happy life. But I think one of the things you're saying, Bill, is really important, because if you've been betrayed, and we just heard a little spot by somebody who was talking about relationships, and if you've been betrayed by somebody, you've been deeply hurt or wounded by somebody, it's so easy to take that wound and allow it to sort of fester. And, you know, the Bible talks about that as maybe being the root of bitterness, and it begins to get into your soul, and it begins to be this feeling of hate that starts to happen, and that then you do sort of want to just reach out, and you want to just put that hate onto somebody else. So that hate that you're feeling, in psychology we call that projection, you project it onto other people, and then you have a target that you can look at rather than dealing with the pain that is deeply inside of you. You can target it on other people and take it out on other people.
Mm-hmm. Say, Linda, has hate grown as a result of social media, or has it just become more obvious because of social media?
Oh my gosh, I looked at a study since the year 2000. This is a study that was put out by a group called the Southern Poverty Law Center. And what they reported is that the number of organized hate groups in the United States since the year 2000 has grown by 50%.
Wow.
That's not a good trend, Bill. We're going the wrong direction here. And I think you're right. I think it has a lot to do with the fact that you can take your awful feelings and you can just put them out there on the internet. I mean, if we look at how, you know, terrorists are recruited, this is part of what's going on, is that it's this ideology of hate towards somebody who is not like you, mm-hmm. and who isn't thinking exactly the same with you. And you can put that on the internet. You can get other people to join in. You don't have to deal with people face to face. And I think an important part of that is what hate does, particularly on social media sites, is that it begins to decrease the empathy that someone has for somebody else, making it easier to be violent towards people who you don't like.
Mm-hmm. So, Linda, I don't even know how to ask this question, but is there anything positive to hate? And I'm just trying to figure out, I mean, we're supposed to hate injustice. We're supposed to hate evil.
Right.
So as Christians, how does hate fit into our package here?
I think you've nailed it. There's just one area that I can find in the Bible, and it's in Psalm 97:10 talks about it, and it says, "Let those who love the Lord hate evil." So the only thing I can think of in terms of looking at Scripture and looking at the way God is telling us how to be in good mental health and good spiritual health and good physical health is that the only time hate is a good thing is when it's directed toward evil, and that you can hate the evil that you see, and God doesn't like evil. And so if you direct it that way rather than at people, I think you're okay, because we know that evil is the thing that is so destructive to the lives of so many people and is at the root of why people begin to move in that kind of hate.
It gets a little tricky, though, doesn't it? I mean, we're supposed to hate behavior, but love people, love our enemies, but hate what they do. I don't know sometimes how to separate those two. That's an interesting salad dressing.
Yeah, I try to think about it more of the spiritual component of that person. Like, what's motivating somebody to do something awful? The love of God doesn't motivate people towards horrible, heinous, terrible things. So if you really believe in a spiritual world, and again, I think this is where we lose the conversation in our culture. You know, if something is not of God, it's what else is it? You know, I know there are things that we just do in our flesh, but we're motivated by that sin nature, and we're motivated by the evil one, the one who roams the earth and he's looking for someone to devour and destroy and to steal and to kill. So I don't think we like to think in that dichotomy very often and think about, yeah, there really is an evil spiritual sort. Do you remember when 9/11 happened and people were talking about that, and a lot of people in the culture were very uncomfortable with talking about an evil hate that could be so spiritually motivated that it would do something like that to somebody. But that is the reality. If you're a believer, we do believe in a spiritual world where there is the good things of God and then there's the evil things of the enemy.
So in conclusion to this interesting conversation, which could go on for hours, is that it does hate will rob the sight of those who wield it. If you have hate in your heart, you will be blinded to some degree by your own hate that's in your heart.
Yeah, and we're going to, I actually am going to pick this apart even more. We're going to do a show on this in a few weeks on my radio show where we're really going to spend a lot of time looking at the psychology of hate. But the bottom line is exactly what you're saying, Bill. It doesn't take you to any good place. And in fact, it's going to mess up your physical body because you are holding on to these very negative emotions that only do damage to the body. It's going to emotionally put you in a place where you really are blocking any kind of empathy or feeling of love from somebody. And then from a behavioral point of view, it may activate you to some kind of aggression, which will get you in trouble. There's no good end to that. And then finally, you know, from a spiritual point of view, you're just not allowing the love of the Lord to penetrate your heart. You're moving in blindness and darkness, according to Scripture. So there really is no positive that I can see for a person moving in hate, which is why we need to really pray in our culture that these hate crimes, that the violence that we're seeing towards people who are different from us, that really needs to stop. And again, the solution to this is a heart transformation. And it sort of reminds me of that old song by Steve, I'm trying to remember his last name, who's saying people need the Lord. We really need the Lord. That's what we need in this culture.
Mm-hmm. Linda, thank you for always pointing us towards healing and hope. I always appreciate that. And I think it's Steve Green you were thinking of.
Steve Green, that's the name.
There we go.
This is what happens when you age. You know, that brain just takes a few more minutes.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Linda. Have a great week.
All right. You too. Take care.
You bet. 27 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. And then after the news, we're going to talk to Dr. Paul Kengor about the president's speech in Poland. He has some very favorable things to say about that. We'll be back in a minute.
Peace of Christ.